You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney in for Hana Baba. Now it's time for an audiograph. This one's very timely, particularly if your blood runs cardinal or blue.
No matter what, we're going to have a good time because we love playing the music.
It's nice to be kind of a rebel band and do some different things. I just hope that they act like normal human beings and behave themselves and quit looking for the shocker to say, wow, aren't we clever?
Everybody thought the band was a little bit crazy. That we are who we are.
Feeling pumped? In this story from our archives, reporter Bo Walsh introduces us to the players.
First and 10, Stanford at their own 30.
It's a chilly mid-November evening out at Stanford Stadium, better known as The Farm. The place is packed for the 120th annual Big Game, the yearly football showdown between two rival Bay Area universities, Stanford and Cal.
Bryce Love with the carry. Gain of a yard. First down, Stanford!
The stadium is divided in half, with the Cal fans in blue and gold on one side and Stanford in cardinal red on the other. It's just about halftime in a close game, and the cheers and chants are at full volume. While there's plenty of action taking place on the field, it's hard not to notice the full-on concert going on by the end zone stands. There's over 100 people playing instruments like tubas, flutes, and marching drums. It's none other than the Leland Stanford Jr. University Marching Band.
We have a fun saying in the band that the band always wins. So even when the football team doesn't win or the volleyball team doesn't win or whatever athletic event we're at, the band always wins.
That's Mireille Bijani.
My band name is Fan. I'm the PR director for the Leland Stanford Junior University Marching Band, and I'm also a senior here at Stanford. The band does big game costumes every year.
Tonight, the band has ditched their well-known red sports coats, white fishing hats, and ugly ties. Instead, they've opted for full-body alien suits and quarantine outfits with gas masks. There's also a few Harry Potters, Shreks, and what I can only guess to be Canadian bobsledders.
We try to go with the times a little bit. My freshman year, my section was dragons, and our section leader was Khaleesi, Mother of Dragons from Game of Thrones.
The Stanford Band is not your typical collegiate marching band.
We don't march, we scatter.
Take it from Dr. Arthur Barnes. He spent 34 years as a music professor and the band's director.
The style of the band before I arrived was quite military, with military uniforms, straight lines, marching. It seemed that a change was very necessary to be different from SC, UCLA, and Cal. And so I decided to form the largest rock and roll band in college history. We had, I think, 174 players. Eventually, that's a large rock and roll band.
The band's halftime performances would quickly become the stuff of legends. Here they are in 1970 on ABC Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at halftime in Stanford Stadium, you're watching their band, musical and formation satire by one of the kingpins of such type of halftime entertaining.
Under Dr. Arthur Barnes, they would begin to play popular rock songs and scramble onto the field and into choreographed formations during their shows, usually taunting the opponents.
It took no time to figure this out, that this was the right thing to do, because they wanted to be different. That was certainly different.
The band still does those formations today. It's actually somebody's job to create these choreographed routines. Here's band member Mireille Bijani.
One of the band staff positions that we have is called graphics. They're the ones who write the script along with a team of writers, and they meet with the field show review committee to approve the shows, and then they design the formations that we're going to make.
The band's field shows haven't always been received warmly, but that was fine by band director Arthur Barnes.
Didn't bother me at all. Fine, at least you're noticed. nice to be noticed.
Even so, over the years, they've offended many opposing universities.
The band has been in hot water a lot of places. There are places literally they can't go back to. They're absolutely banned from going to Notre Dame. Frankly, they should be. Their stuff got just plain nasty.
That's Joe Starkey, the former sports director of KGO Radio. The incident he's talking about took place in 1991, when the drum major dressed up as a nun and conducted the band using a wooden cross to taunt the Catholic University. In 2004, the band made national news after it mocked Mormons during a halftime show at BYU.
The sweet relief that can only come from the sacred bond between a man and a woman, and a woman, and a woman.
But the incident that the band is most infamous for would also go down in sports history. The year was 1982. The place, Memorial Stadium in Berkeley. Joe Starkey was the broadcaster for the California Golden Bears. It was the 85th annual big game, and in a back and forth battle, Stanford was looking down for the count. Just when Cal looked like they had the game sealed, Stanford quarterback John Elway would lead the Cardinal on a heroic last-minute drive down the field that set up a field goal to give Stanford the lead.
Here's the snap, here's the kick. It is long enough, and it's good! Stanford hits it with 4 seconds to go!
Stanford takes the lead 20-19, but there are 4 seconds left on the clock.
That's Gary Terrell, who was the trombone section leader for the band at the time.
Everything is great. All we have to do is run out these last 4 seconds on the clock.
With the game looking like it was in the bag, the Stanford band was ready to celebrate.
During this time, this final series, the Stanford band had started to edge down to field level to get ready for our post-game concert.
There was one last shot at a miracle for the Cal Bears.
The Bears in a seemingly impossible situation. They have only one timeout left.
What happened next would forever be known as the play.
As I remember it, and as I experienced it at the time, it seemed like it was all slow motion.
All right, here we go with the kickoff. Ball comes loose and the Bears have to get out of bounds.
Cal began to pass the football around like a hot potato, advancing up the field.
Another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rogers.
Cal player Kevin Moen received the final lateral and burst into the end zone. Gary and the band moseyed onto the field, only to become part of the action.
Oh, the band is out on the field! He's going to go into the end zone!
Out of the corner of my eye, saw this Cal player running through the end zone, figuring he just probably wanted to get the heck out of there. But he had the ball, and the next thing I knew, I was down.
So Moen runs over Gary Terrell, the trombone player, who has, by the way, become immortalized by being run over.
But the bands are out on the field! There were flags all over the place!
The scene was an absolute mess. Gary and his trombone were barreled over as players ran through, over and around members of the Stanford band.
There were so many people on the field as the band came out and the players kind of came together in so many different ways, it was almost impossible to tell who had the ball.
Even with Terrell laid out on the ground, the Bears were celebrating, having pulled off the unthinkable. Starkey was just as pumped.
The Bears have won! The Bears have won! Oh my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football, California.
Since then, there have been a lot of games that somebody on a lateral won a football game by coming back in that kind of a play. But nobody's ever done it when a band is on the field, when you have players literally running through not only the opponents, but the band members who've come out assuming the game is over. So I don't know how you'll ever top that. I really don't.
In that moment, the Cal Bears and Joe Starkey cemented themselves in history. But Gary Terrell and the Stanford band had too.
That is a pretty silly way to become infamous.
Back at tonight's big game, the action isn't quite as exciting as it was in 1982. Stanford is getting ready to secure the victory and keep the cherished big game trophy known as the Axe on the farm for another year. The band was noticeably absent from last year's big game after a school investigation revealed issues like drinking and hazing. Stanford banned them from traveling to all away games for the academic year. Now, they're happy to be back.
Our performance and travel privileges are fully reinstated. There's so much excitement around it within the band and around campus, and we love being a part of all of that.
Last year, the band also hired a new director, who, among other things, is tasked with changing the culture to avoid future sanctions. But don't expect them to start marching in line.
I think we're just always looking to stay true to our values and, you know, be the irreverent band that everyone knows us to be.
And for Dr. Arthur Barnes, the man who shaped the band into what it is today, he wouldn't have it any other way.
There are people my age who come up to me and say, "Can't you do something about that band?" And I said, "Yeah, I did it in 1963. I made it a rock and roll band."
Hate them or love them, this band continues to scatter on. In Palo Alto, I'm Bo Walsh for Cross Currents.
Thanks, Bo. The next big game is this Saturday at Stanford. And this story you just heard won a 2019 San Francisco Press Club Award for sports reporting. You can find more award-winning stories from Cross Currents at kalw.org. And that's also where you can subscribe to our newsletter, where you'll find every story we report about the Bay Area. Don't suffer from the fear of missing out. Subscribe at kalw.org. Click Cross Currents.